Paul Cardall is thrilled that All Heart with Paul Cardall is joining the American Songwriter Podcast Network. American Songwriter has been a home for songwriters, musicians, and music lovers for over 35 years. And the award-winning pianist, songwriter, and transplant recipient truly believes it is the perfect place for his podcast.
Hi guys, I'm Paul Cardall. This is All Heart. Before we jump into our conversation with best-selling author J.D. Netto and Bookstagram megastar Elizabeth Sagan, I want to talk about something that happened 11 years ago today. Imagine you have a damaged heart and the doctors tell you it has to be replaced. That's the situation I was in. You're in the operating room. You're not sure if you're going to survive. You're thinking, is there anything else I could have said to my family? Is there anybody I should have reached out to? I want to live. I want a second chance. I hope these surgeons get this right. And then you go to sleep because the surgeon is going to remove your heart and they're going to replace it with a new one. A younger, healthier, donor heart. And then you wake up and you're not gone. You're alive and there's family and you recognize you do get a second chance at life. And all these thoughts of, what am I gonna do with this second chance? Well, I think about my organ donor every single day because I know the sacrifice his family made. Because for me to be alive, it meant somebody had died and donated that organ. My thoughts are with them today. But every day is a gift. It is not easy, it is challenging, it is hard. We have growing pains. We live in a world where people do not get along. There's a lot of violence and, I mean, I could go on and on, but here's the bottom line. I fought to live because I wanted a second chance. I wanted to be here for my kids, for my family, for you. And ever since I received that heart, it has been my mission to create music that is going to help heal your heart, to interview people, to make you aware of people who are all heart, who are making an impact, to get feedback from you. The emails I receive from you are so inspiring. Those of you that get the All Heart newsletter know about the broken miracle. This is the story J.D. Netto is going to talk about today. It's my story. And I'm excited because Elizabeth had a chance to read it. We're going to talk about these things and so much more today on All Heart with Paul Cardall. Be grateful you are alive. Breathe. Relax. And just enjoy the conversation. How are you guys doing?
Hey!
Hello.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Liz.
Hi there.
Hi, so, Liz. Paul, Liz.
Nice to meet you. Finally meet you.
Right? You are.
Well, I mean, Liz does know you somewhat, I guess, because, you know, she did read part one.
Yes, I did.
Well, first off, Elizabeth, is it Elizabeth or Liz? Or I know it's Elizabeth Sagan. Yeah, but your artwork, your graphic design, everything you're doing is like mind-blowing. Like
I love it.
I'm not kidding. Everyone needs to go to your Instagram and watch these presentations that are like, these are things that like Fortune 500 companies would go, how do we do that? And yep. You're pulling it off. Absolutely. So it's amazing. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's going to get everyone to go over there because they've got to see it. So, but now where are you from, Elizabeth?
I'm from Romania.
No kidding. That is amazing. I love that is one country I want to get to. It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful country and you should totally visit it.
That's amazing. The thing that's cool, we should all take a trip. We should all take a trip. Well, the thing that's cool here is that this is a very diverse group because JD, you were born in Brazil, mm-hmm. and then you came to the United States.
And Elizabeth, you were born in Romania. Are you still in Romania? Where are you now?
Yes, I'm in Romania.
You are?
Everyone expects me to be either from UK or the United States. And it always comes as a surprise that wow. I'm from Romania.
Well, what I want to do here on All Heart, which is, you know, sponsored by the American Songwriter Podcast Network. And this is a network that musicians from all over the world, they like to tune in and figure out how to understand the music world. But the beautiful thing with All Heart is I'm able to, as a musician, as a songwriter, interview people who I find absolutely fascinating, who are all heart. And, you know, right off the bat, when JD said, you know, hey, let's have Elizabeth, it was like, I kind of want Elizabeth alone because she's just so amazing, and the artwork and everything you're doing. Yeah. So many graphic artists, designers, marketing people, I'm telling you, if you're in that world, follow Elizabeth Sagan's Instagram because it is so beautiful and inspirational.
Paul, can you pause for 1 minute? My iPad is on, and if a call comes in, it's going to leak here. Can you, 1 minute?
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Have you been seeing, Elizabeth, have you been seeing the photos of him as a child that he's been posting? The little boy, little JD.
Yeah, the recent ones. Yeah, I have seen them.
He's adorable. His first drawing is the crucifixion of Christ.
I saw that as well.
Yes. Now imagine my mother. Oh my God. That's all I keep thinking about. My mother would have been devastated. No, not devastated, but like,
why?
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, like, she's going to be like worried.
Well, you know, while JD's fixing his iPad, he comes from a very religious background. So I would expect that your first drawing would be of that, like the very intense, violent thing that was just like, oh my gosh, you're telling me I'm a little boy and you're telling me about this horrific scene. So obviously that was
it was just more like, you know, you're a 3-year-old and you draw the crucifixion of Christ. Perhaps I used the wrong word. I think my mom was probably very surprised that I wasn't drawing, you know, teddy bears or things like that. But I never really enjoyed the innocent stories. I think, I don't know if Liz was the same way, but I always wanted more. I wanted more depth to the things that I loved. So that was always me.
Well, let me ask both of you a question. You're both incredible writers. You have loyal fans, not just fans. These are loyal fans that adore you. When you're younger, and we'll start with Elizabeth, what was the first book that you read that left you going, oh my gosh, I want to write. I want to be a writer. What was the first book? And then JD after Elizabeth.
I don't remember the first book that I've read. I remember the book that changed everything for me. So I was reading before being in love with books because I just had to. The first book that changed everything for me was Magic by Angie Sage. And when I saw it, it was total a cover buy. And I saw that cover, I bought it. I already imagined the story behind that cover. It had nothing to do with the real story inside the pages, but I read it and it just started for me.
What is the plot of that story? What is the point of that book and why?
It's about the seventh son of a seventh son who is a magician of sorts. I don't remember exactly. I know it's about the seventh son of a seventh son, but aside from that, I don't remember anything. And it's about a ring because ring was on the cover and it was a snake eating its own tail. And this is what sparked my interest in that book.
Yeah, Tolkien didn't think of that one. That's amazing. I love
Very
that.
True, he didn't. Yeah.
That is incredible. What about you, JD?
Man, I mean, from a very young age, even in Brazil when I was a kid, my hobby was to draw characters and write stories. But when I came to the States, as I learned English, I remember it was actually three books that made me fall in love with that. Huckleberry Finn kind of was the first spark Mark Twain instilled in me like that. This is interesting. And then I found out that Jurassic Park was a novel by Michael Crichton, and I bought it, and I read it. But it wasn't until I discovered The Lord of the Rings that I really said, oh my God, like, okay, my mind is not as wild as I thought. Like, you know, there are people out there that are doing this, and it's socially acceptable, I guess I could say that. But it was definitely those three, and then it just... Yeah, I started creating my own adventures.
That's incredible. And that type of material is not, I mean, that is not something a younger person usually is drawn to. It's usually later, you know, in your college days in life that you start to get drawn to those types of stories. For me, I fell in love with literature from my just taking English classes in high school. And the first book that we were assigned to read that blew my mind and really changed me was Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I felt really? Such love and compassion for Hester and everything in that story, because you had this built-in religious society and they were hiding things. And it was just so interesting to me, which is interesting because here I am, born in the United States. I speak English. I don't know another language. You guys have both, you're both from other countries where you had a native language, Portuguese, Romanian. So Elizabeth, that transition from Romanian to English, because you do write books in English.
And it all started in college, because before the second year of college, I wasn't reading any books in English. And I started with Percy Jackson, and it was very accessible. After Percy Jackson, the next book in English, and the next, and the next. And right now, I'm not reading in my native language anymore. Or I am, but super, super rarely. Reading came naturally. Writing, not so much. Because when you read, you can come across an unknown word. And it doesn't matter that much because you understand it in a context. But when you write, you have to be super careful with the way in which you build your sentence, your paragraphs. So yeah, it was more of a struggle.
It's incredible. What about you, JD?
Man, for me, so I have this vivid memory when I was a kid in Brazil, I got the VHS for Titanic, and it was in English with Portuguese subtitles. And I was around nine, because this was 97. So I remember telling myself, one day I'm going to work in that language and I'm going to speak like these guys do. And crazy, because 3 years after I was here in the States, in Massachusetts, and I was put into the ESL program, English as a Second Language, and I actually graduated from the program within a year. Mm. So it was, I don't know, like, I was destined for it, I guess, if I can even say that, but it was an easy transition. Today, English is my language of expression. I speak Portuguese, but if I really want to express myself, English is what I go to. So it's definitely, and Liz can actually understand that. It's because it's kind of like you have two personalities in a way when you speak different languages. Even the way your voice sounds, the way you carry yourself is very different.
I think every language has a certain spirit. You can say personality. Yeah. You feel it differently. You feel English.
You do.
I feel English differently than I feel Romanian. I still have a lot to learn and a lot to work on. But what I want to say is that I am truly impressed with what you did and the story you shared, JD, about the way in which you learned a new language. And now you can write in this language.
That's right. Absolutely
impressive.
Yeah, it was, you know, now I share it, but imagine a 12-year-old kid, you know, in America, you just show up and you're like, oh, okay.
I'm sure that was a really foreign experience to all of a sudden be in the United States and hear the English constantly, the flow of it. Well, let's talk about projects you guys are working on. Elizabeth, what is something that you're working on right now?
I'm working on, I started working on the project of my heart five years ago. And it was the first book that I finished, completed, edited, it's done. Right now, of course, I would very much like to see it published. And I'm working on that. I realized that I might have started, I'm writing it with James. We are co-authors.
Oh, wow.
So we are not only taking pics together, we are also writing together. And right now we realize that we might have started the story in the wrong point. And we want to tell the same story, but we want to start with the events 100 years into the future, when things already happened and when things are really.
I love that.
Because many authors are writing their first book and then they write the prequel and then they write the sequel and so on. So that might work. And we recently started working on that just this week.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to be back on track with writing and to be back in this place of talking about the story, of brainstorming, and back to the story I really, really love. Because for a very long time, when I was trying to get the first book published, I stopped writing anything else. And I could feel it. I could feel writing missing from my life. But I started again, and I'm feeling amazing.
When people think to themselves, you know, I want to write a story, but I don't think I'll ever get published. Do you feel that they should write anyways?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Stephen King said, I think, don't quote me on that, but he said that first of all, you are a writer if you write. You are not a writer if you get published, of course you are, but the fact that you write makes you a writer, and mm-hmm. you should be able to write if this is what your soul wants, your heart wants, even if you might never get published.
Exactly.
If there is something inside you that wants to get mm-hmm. out, you should do it, totally do it.
And I totally agree, because before we hear from JD, all those years ago when I was in a hospital and unsure of anything, I decided to write, and I kept a blog, not for attention to me to get prayers or whatever, nice cards in the mail, but it was a way for me to process what was happening, to write it down. And then as I read it back, I could understand my own situation. I shared that with a gentleman in my neighborhood who is a clinical psychiatrist. And he said, the best thing you can do when you're in life, in dealing with anxiety, stress, all these things, is to write, because it will save you. It will help you.
Either that or any other creative outlet, write, and just do something that comes from inside.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Play
the piano.
Play the piano. It's crazy because during quarantine here in the States, it had been years since I had picked up an actual pencil and a piece of paper to draw. I was used to the iPad, to digital art, and it was a way for me to stay mentally healthy was to go back to that. To that beginning, I guess. And I bought this huge notebook, and these charcoals because I love drawing with charcoal. That's my favorite thing to do. And I just started expressing myself through that again as a way to stay grounded. So I agree with Liz. Art in general, like music or books or pictures, whatever you outlet, you have to express your emotion is such an imperative thing for everyone.
And obviously, you know, we're all creatives, so we have that kind of that mentality. People tend to think creatives are somewhat of outsiders, misfits, a little strange. I think we're the most normal people in the world. But JD, let's talk about what you're working on, because I'm interested.
I don't know what I'm working on. I forgot. It's been a year and 3 months that I've been writing this novel called The Broken Miracle. It is now a duology inspired by someone named Paul Cardall. Liz, do you know who that guy is? I have no idea who Paul Cardall is.
I don't know.
No idea who he is. And I don't just say this, but it's been truly an honor to be entrusted with this story because it was life-changing for me when Paul reached out. We were in New York City in April of last year when we could still go out to restaurants without masks and sit down. And, you know, we were in New York and I said it to Paul. I said, this novel will not only be a miracle for readers, but I have a feeling that it's going to be my own as well. It was an interesting thing because at times I felt like I was writing for myself, like my reader, as if I needed to read the words I was writing. It was an interesting dynamic. It was a very healing process for me. It was so interesting because I was used to writing these elaborate worlds of fantasy and magic. And then I resorted to human emotion, and that's all I had. And it's been an amazing journey. I mean, part two is almost done. Part one is finished. So, and Liz got to read it. And I was so nervous when I sent her this manuscript because Liz is a very honest book reviewer. She does not hold back. No matter who you are, she will say it like it is. So when I got her feedback, I was like, oh my God, okay. I feel good.
So just so everybody knows, several years ago, I started getting a lot of people asking if they could write my story. They wanted to do some type of biography because the music is now in 160 countries and we've got, you know, billions of streams and about 2.6 million people who subscribe. And they wanted to know kind of the deeper story. So I kept getting people asking. But then JD, you were following me on Instagram. I started following you and I was intrigued by just your story, your journey, and the relationships you had forged with people like Elizabeth. And you had created this whole world called Saved by the Page. And this was fascinating to me because you were using books to help people with anxiety, depression, people that are suicidal. Reading is that escape that draws you back into in and out of the realities, because we need to feel that love, and books can do that for us. And so I was so impressed by it. That's when we reached out and I said, you know, if I ever had a story told, I think I want you to do it. And that's when
you did.
That's when you're like, okay. Like that. So yeah. We started talking, I think it was like a year of communication because I was very, just so everyone knows,
it was November 2018. I remember.
Okay, you remember.
I was at the gym. Yes, because Save by the Page came out shortly before. And by the way, Liz has an amazing story there. And so does James. They're all contributors to Save by the Page. But I remember it was a few weeks after I was at the gym and I saw your DM. And then we started talking again in the beginning of 2019 before my move to Boston. Yeah. And then we made it official because in April I was already in the Northeast. And then I made this trip to New York 3 weeks after I had moved in.
That's right. You were north of the wall.
I was north of the wall. And it's been an amazing journey. with these characters and just writing that story. And again, for everybody who's listening, the main events are real. I got to create characters. I got to create people that will lead up to those main events, but every major event is real. So that's what I'm working on right now. And
would you say this is a fictional novel, The Broken Miracle? Is it exactly all the details of the subject?
It's a fictional biography. Okay. No, it's a fictional biography because literary Paul, Liz, this is how, when I talk to Paul, this is how I say literary Paul and real life Paul.
There's two of me.
Literary Paul, there are two. I even gave him someone more of a, I don't want to say, his personality is a little different. The supporting characters are very different. The main events are real. Transplant, you know, and other things. That is
the
real
principles.
And how things get there. The principles are real. But I got to have fun in creating the moments that lead up to that. Obviously grounded in the reality of Paul's life. I wasn't like, yeah, and then Paul jumped on a dragon and flew to Chicago. Like, that's not something you're gonna find.
I think we should add that. You need to add that chapter. That sounds a lot more interesting.
Liz, you read it. You're the reader. What did you think? Should we add that to the book?
I would like to see it in the second book because the first book was perfect as it was. I loved it. Aside from the fact that I love the writing, I love the dialogue. I'm a huge fan of well-written dialogue, and it picked all the right boxes for me. The story hit differently because I knew it was real. Of course, grounded in reality, maybe some things were fictional, but it was grounded in reality. And it's one thing to read about character and feel for them, but to know it's fiction, and another thing to know that those events happened. And there were points when I had teary eyes. I absolutely loved it. I shared it on my stories. I was truly amazed.
Wow.
And some people, wow. It's funny because some people are like, we got to share the book with a few beta readers, Liz, even before, but some people, they go, I can't believe this is real. I'm like, yeah, no, like, and it's like the journey, people just, they can't quite get it. It's fascinating.
I feel it's interesting because I feel like my life has been fantasy because there are so many unusual events that do not happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it is in a way a fantasy. And so I think that's the brilliance of it being a fictional story, because people then are able to connect with the characters on their level rather than saying this is a book about a musician, this is a book about Mick Jagger, this is a book, you know, this takes you into a journey of challenges that are real for so many people, and it doesn't really matter that it's about me. It's about the subject content of what's going on and what's happening, how to overcome and deal with these dramatic events in life.
And the best part is that it can inspire people. I don't know if JD shared with you the story, the story reply that I got. But there was someone who thanked me for talking about this book and for sharing it because she has a son who is suffering from the same condition, and she told me that she can't wait for The Broken Miracle to come out because she wants to share it with her son.
Wow.
And to show him that it's possible.
Wow.
I think the beautiful thing about art, especially books, right? Books, music, movies, it creates culture. It creates friendships. It creates this bond that no matter where you are in the world, people can connect. And when I did Saved by the Page, honestly, after I finished the tour for The Whisper of the Falling in 2017, I was like, but there has to be more than just this. You know, I don't believe in empty art. I believe in art that has a message. Dragons, castles, dinosaurs, whatever you want to use, I still believe there's a message behind it. And when Saved by the Page, when I had that idea, I knew it had the power to inspire people differently. And The Broken Miracle is very much in the same vein, I would say, just because there's so many themes in that book that are not really, I don't want to say popular, but not really discussed. Right. So openly, and it's there.
Something that really stood out for me, JD, is, you know, you haven't just created this book to help people, but you've built a community online at thebrokenmiracle.com. You've created The Impossible Tales, which is sponsored with Saved by the Page, where people can go and share a story of their own, something they've been through, something, the way a book, music, or anything, just a miracle that they've seen happen, something that's out of the ordinary, that's changed them. And it's been incredible to watch all these people come and share, you know, and that's at thebrokenmiracle.com, but then also over at Saved by the Page. Elizabeth, you're part of this, Saved by the Page. Tell us more about how that all kind of came about, because I think it's important for people to learn about it.
You are asking me about the story that I shared in the anthology?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So I talked about the way in which I came to the realization that I have to do things that are authentic to myself. And what I mean by that is that I went through a period of my life when I decided that I would not read fiction anymore because it's not serious. And back then I had decided to go to law school, and I truly wanted it to work. But I realized that without the creative outlet in my life, and without stories, without books, without the fact that there was no story inside my mind that I could think about when I put my head on the pillow and went to sleep, my life was pretty empty. And I wasn't feeling well. And back then, the last book in the Dark Tower series came out, translated in Romanian, and it was my favorite. It still is my favorite series. And I said, okay, only this one. I would read it because I just want to know how it ends. And after that, it was another and another and another. And then I started reading Percy Jackson in English, and that opened a whole new world for me. And I saw that I felt so differently. Like before, I was feeling depressed and I was lying to myself that I enjoyed law school. But I realized that I can't do this for the rest of my life, and I have to feel that I'm doing authentic things. And beautiful. Then I realized that for the past 3 years, when I was in reading slump, the publishing world went on without me, and there were so many new books that came out that I had no idea about. I didn't know what was trendy, what was new, what should I write, what should I read. And this is how I discovered Instagram and Bookstagram. And I started following book accounts, sharing pics with books once in a while. And in time, I started creating more and more complex pictures, to the point where you can see.
When she sent me the notes on WhatsApp, I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, when an author gives a book to a reviewer, even if it's a friend, you want that honest opinion. Right. At least I do. I don't want people to sugarcoat anything. I'd much rather have a friend tell me, oh, this isn't as good or this isn't as strong than some random person. So I've always treasured Liz's input. Even when I was writing Henderbell, she was one of the first people to read that. And she gave me some great notes on Henderbell before it was even published. So I value her opinion. When I saw her message, I was like, okay, all right, so this is good. This is good.
When does The Broken Miracle come out, part one?
The Broken Miracle part one comes out February 2nd. February 2nd. 2021.
And how do people, I mean, so do we need to wait till?
I'm so hyped. So you can pre-order the paperback now. November ebook pre-orders will begin. And it comes out February 2021. And then on the day of release of part one, everybody will know when part two is going to come out. And I promise it won't take that long.
You know what's great, Elizabeth, is what's great about this is years ago, I got my start in essence because an author, a New York Times bestselling author, Richard Paul Evans, had written a book called The Christmas Box. And everyone thought this fictional story was true. So he came to me and said, can you score a soundtrack for the book? I said, I've never heard of a soundtrack for a book. I only hear of soundtracks for a film. And that whole experience of reading and creating music to it was the beginning of this journey that I've been on in music career. And so also with the Broken Miracle novel, there is a soundtrack that'll be coming out, which is my next album. And it's going to be, we've got some songs on there, some vocalists, some very well-known prominent vocalists, yes, are part of this, but that's not till November when everybody gets to find out who's on there.
But we can't even tell anyone. We can't even tell.
Not yet. There's a process with record labels. You have to get all the legal everything taken care of to ensure everything, but I'm excited about this. And Elizabeth, when is the project that you're working on right now? When do you think you and James will have that incredible piece of work done?
We barely started it, but okay. What we want to do is to write it much faster than the first book, because having the experience of the first book behind us, we know we are much better writers right now, and we know much more about the way to craft a story, to create the characters, to develop them. So hope as fast as possible.
Well, one thing I like to ask my guests on All Heart is one question to wrap it up. So I'm gonna ask both of you. I'm gonna start with you, Elizabeth, and then JD. When your life is over and you're gone, what is your hope with all your heart that people will remember? What do you want people to know or remember about Elizabeth Sagan?
I of course want to leave something behind. A piece of creation, anything, a good deed, something that changed, not the world, because we stop hoping to change the world, but at least something to change the lives of some people. I hope someone thinks back and thinks about, I'm glad I had this person in my life, because without her, I wouldn't have done this thing. Something like that.
Well, you're clearly on that path right now. So many people love and adore you. You inspire so many of us. And I've been saying this, but watching your creation and everything you do, you have been blessed completely, thoroughly. So everyone, please go and look up Elizabeth Sagan, her work, her books. Where do you want people specifically? Do you have a website?
No, not anymore. I created a website, but James and I stopped writing on it. So our main platform is Instagram.
Beautiful. Okay. And what's your, okay, I'll direct everyone there. So thank you so much, JD. JD, when you're, after you've conquered or destroyed all religions or whatever you're, I want my audience to know that JD is a uniter. He's a man of peace. He's been on an incredible journey, and I've gotten to know him in such a unique and powerful way. And, you know, this, we joke about a lot of things. We're quite facetious, but this is a good person, a good man who really wants to bring people together and help people. And that is the reason I went ahead and said, yes, JD's the guy writing. And I knew your heart. I know your heart. So when you're gone, and you're out flying on a dragon with Daenerys in another world, what do you hope people remember about J.D. Netto?
I want people to remember that I was someone who dared. And that's where the sentence ends. I dared. I dared to do it. I dared to fight for it, even when I had 1,000 reasons not to. I still chose to look at the glass half full, because I had many reasons not to believe in anything, but I never allowed that to dictate my future. And so that's what I want people to remember me for. You know, obviously the stories and the art and everything, they're just glimpses of that, and I think Liz can also understand that the photos and the writing, we leak what we really are. You know, a leak is an accident. So that's who we are. And I think that's what art is. So I just want people to remember me as someone who dared to do it, to believe, to keep on going, even when he couldn't. And considering that I have a whole bunch of horcruxes up here, you know, I'm immortalized in, it's going to be 8 books next year.
Yeah, the legacy left behind. Hey, thank you guys. This has been a lot of fun. I'm so honored to have you all kind of here. Thank you guys very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You guys, bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.